Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
And most importantly, I'm glad that you're here tonight. We're going to watch about 20 seconds of a video of one of my favorite TV shows when I was in high school. And you're allowed to watch if you enjoy it. So if you would, go ahead and show the video.
Mahal, the Great Wall of China, the Grand Canyon, and now the Smack Wall.
Oh man, it's fun to watch people fall, isn't it? And it would be even more fun if that was somebody that you knew, right? If you recognize, maybe your youth minister was one of those people or one of your best friends. I spent a lot of time as I was preparing for this lesson watching fall videos, trying to find a good one. But when I was in high school, I watched that show all the time, and they made season after season after season, and you know what's coming, but it's just so fun watching somebody fall. And I think when it comes to people falling, there are two types of good friends out there, and I want you to think about which one you are. There are the friends who make sure that you're okay first, and then they laugh at you. And then there are the ones who immediately start laughing at you. So I want you to raise your hand. How many of you are the ones who would check on them first and then make sure that they're okay, then you laugh? Raise your hand. That would be me. And how many of you would start laughing at your friends immediately? The rest of you. Awesome. I think that is probably what I expected. Most people like to laugh immediately. And would you guys agree that some falls are worse than others? Would you say that? Some falls are worse than others. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you about one of the worst falls, actually the worst fall of my life. And then we'll talk about another fall that happens after that. But first, I'm going to need your hands raised again. Raise your hand if you have ever fallen and broken a bone or broken the skin to the point that you needed stitches. Raise your hand if you ever needed surgery for a broken bone or stitches. Look around. That's a lot of us here, right? It's pretty common. If you haven't done that yourself, I've never broken a bone, but I've come close and seen lots of these happen before, but it's pretty common for us to fall and break things. But I want to tell you about the worst fall I've ever had in my life. It happened about 25 years ago, so it was a long time ago. It was when I was in pre-K, and this is one of the earliest memories that I have of my life. Part of it, I think I remember the story being retold, but part of it, I think I remember it because it traumatized me. But I was out there on the playground. We were there at recess, and there's these picnic tables, and you know, you've got the part where you sit down, you put your feet into there, and then you got the part where you normally eat your food. I stepped on the top part, and I remember just screaming, "I'm king of the world!" And my teacher was like, "Jackson, get down." And so I tried to get down. But then as I go to step where you normally would be sitting, my foot missed, and my face hit there, and my teeth went through my lower lip. And I just remember bawling, embarrassed, everyone's laughing, everyone's watching, they saw what just happened, and as if that wasn't bad enough, they sit me inside the hallway. As all the kids are coming back from recess, I'm sitting in there as one kid after another walks by me, and I'm just sitting there, just basically on a, you know, like a museum, just facing every kid as they come, and I'm just crying, and everyone just like, "What happened to that kid?" And that was one of the worst fall that I ever had. It left a scar, and it's covered by the beard right now. But if I shaved the beard, you'd see a little bit of a scar. I looked at it yesterday, it's still there. And as I was growing up, that scar reminded me of something, so I'm gonna make sure, yeah, here we go. When you have a scar is a reminder of two things. It's a reminder that something was broken, and it's also a reminder that a broken thing has been healed. When I looked at that scar growing up, every time I saw that, it reminded me of the day and the time that I fell. But it also reminded me that somebody did something to fix that brokenness. I went that day to get stitches, and it was healed. It's not exactly like it was before, but it is fixed. And so think about your scar. If you've never broken a bone or had stitches, then be thankful for that. But if you have one, it's a reminder that something was broken, but something was done to fix that. And we'll see this come back into play here in just a minute. And so when you look around at our world, you guys are more connected to our world than any generation has ever been before. When you look around at our world, are there a lot of bad things? A lot of angry people, diseases, people being rude to each other, people dying, a lot of sickness and awful things that are happening in the world. Why is that the case? It's because of something that happened a long time ago. God's so good, he made a world that's so good. Why do we have all this bad that happened? We got to go all the way back to the beginning. We go back to Genesis in chapter 3. It's when the first fall of mankind ever happened. I'm going to put this on the screen in just a minute from Genesis chapter 1, but the original fall of mankind, when Adam and Eve had a perfect world, they had it set up how they wanted it to be, they did the one thing that they shouldn't have done, and they messed things up. A lot of you are familiar with that story, but let me pause there and let me talk about our theme for the Areawides before we dive into that story of Adam and Eve. So this year, the theme for the Areawides throughout this school year, you can see it behind me, is woven. We're looking at Jesus through the Bible. And so we're going to look at how do we see Jesus all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And tonight, I'm going to start at the very beginning of where we see Jesus. And this story is critical to seeing the world that we live in today and figuring out why does it look the way that it is. What's the plan? How did it get off track, and are we going to get back on track? So let me go ahead to the next slide, and let's look at Genesis chapter 1. At the very beginning, let's go back to the first time we find out about where Jesus was. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And then in John chapter 1, we see a reminder of this in the New Testament. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," talking about Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing has been made." And if you read Colossians, it's all about that as well. Jesus was there at the very beginning. We were made in his image. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Jesus was there. He didn't wait till later in the story to come in. He was there at the beginning of the story. He was there when the beginning of all of this happened. But when we start at the beginning of the Bible, we see Jesus there, and we'll see later how he comes into it more. Let me show you some slides here. God makes beautiful things, doesn't he? That's pretty. Look at this next one. That's awesome. I mean, God made this, and this is what it looks like today. We have no idea what it looked like in the beginning. Things like this. Isn't that awesome? That's gorgeous. The world that we live in today is still incredible, but it's a glimpse of what it once was and what it one day will be. We're looking at a broken version of what the world was when God made it and what it's going to be in the end. We've got things like this right now, but we also have things like this. Sometimes we look and we see the ocean like this. Other time we look at the ocean and we see things like this. Sometimes we look at neighborhoods like this, and then we look at a natural disaster and something makes it look like this. See, Adam and Eve had it perfect. They had the setup. They had everything going their way. And God told them, there's only one thing. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all you got to do. The rest is yours. You can do whatever you want. They had the life. They had all the creation. They had all the animals. Everything was theirs. There's just one thing that they couldn't do, and that's the one thing that they did. And a lot of you guys are familiar with that story. You've probably grown up in church to know that they ate of the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. And ever since that moment, our world has been broken. Our world was perfect before then, but ever since that moment, our world has no longer been perfect. It's been broken. And so death entered in the world, and sin became extremely common. In fact, sin became so common that just a few chapters later, we look in Genesis chapter 6 that God said, "I'm done with it. I'm starting all over again." Look, in Genesis, I think this is chapter 6, 5 through 7. I got dyslexic. But chapter 6, it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe away from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." That didn't take long to get to that point. It didn't take very long for us to get to this broken world where God said, "Time out. I'm starting over again. This is wicked. This is evil. This has gotten to such a broken place that I'm starting over again." And he found one righteous man named Noah and his family, 8 people in total, put them on the ark, and he started all over. And you guys know the story of the flood, and it killed everyone else, all the animals, and God restarted. But what about you? Today, people will say things like, I think we're back to this. People will say things like, our world is a lost cause. It's hopeless. I mean, do we have any reason to try to save it? We can't do anything about it. It's just kind of a lost cause. But I'll ask you, what do you think? You think that we're lost? Do you think we have any reason to have any hope? Let me ask you another question. Look on the screen. Do you ever wish that God would take all the bad out of the world? I've heard someone ask this before, and their response was great. It was not something that I expected to hear. This guy named Frank Turek, he's a Christian apologist. He goes around to different campuses around America, around the world, and he takes on some of the difficult questions that people ask. And somebody said, why don't you just take all the evil out of the world? Why wouldn't God just take out all the bad? You know why? He says, you don't want that, because he might start with you or me. If God's going to take out all the evil that we thought about, all the bad that we thought about in this world, he might start with me, and I might be gone. If I want to get rid of all of that, then I'm lumping myself into that same group that might be getting tossed. So we can't get rid of all the evil, but we've got to figure out how to learn within it. And we've got to realize that when we look at this sin and the bad, the evil that's around us in this world, just like that scar that we talked about earlier, it's a reminder of the fall. It's a reminder of the broken world that we're in. Well, let me ask you another question. Be honest. What comes to mind first when you see this next picture? Maybe it's art, maybe drawing rainbows. Maybe it's LGBTQ+. Maybe it's pride stuff. See some heads nodding there. Maybe it's, you know, some of you might be old enough to remember the double rainbow video from YouTube. There's different things that may come to mind. And I'll be honest, the first thing that came to mind for me is not what it should be. Because we're so wrapped up in the world and things that are being thrown at us, and this has gotten a new meaning in a lot of places. But God tells us it should have a specific meaning. And so we're going to look at that tonight, what God says about the rainbow and what he says that's supposed to be. And so in Genesis 6, we just talked about things had gotten so bad that God said, I'm restarting. Let's do this over again. And there was a flood, and it wiped away everything. All that was left was Noah and his family. And then he told Noah, I'm going to give you something. In chapter 9 of Genesis, verses 8 through 13, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Catch this part. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. This is what it's supposed to mean. When you see a rainbow, it's supposed to have a special meaning to us. When Noah saw a rainbow, I got to imagine he was relieved. I want you to put yourself into Noah's shoes and think about, you had just had this flood that had been raining for a year, and it had been raining and raining and raining, and then you've been on the ark for a year, and then it starts raining again, and there's another thunderstorm. Noah's probably going, oh no, are we doing this again? Is this round two? But then he sees this rainbow, and he's reminded of God's promise. He said he's not going to do that. So when Noah saw the rainbow, he's reminded that God saved him, that he saved him from this broken world. And I want us to think of something. When we see a rainbow, we should also be reminded of God's love and that he did something to save us from the brokenness of this world. Yes, he did something amazing, and he started over with the flood, and he started all over again. But God did something way more incredible than that. Way more incredible than just building an ark and saving a few people. God did something incredible, and we know something that Noah never knew. I was trying to think about this as I was going to say it. It's pretty cool to think about. Noah got to live for hundreds of years, and he saw one of the most amazing things that ever happened in the history of mankind. But he didn't know what we know, which is the end of the story, the rest of the story. We know what happened after this, that God knew that all of us were sinners and all of us were dead in our sins and we were not going to make it on our own, that we needed to be saved. And so John 3:16, the Bible verse you're probably most familiar with, is that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. He saved us. He saved us not just from the flood, he saved us from our sins. All of us are going to spend forever somewhere, and God saved us and gave us the option to choose where we're going to go. So as we talk about woven and we see how Jesus works through the scripture, Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. As sin came into the world through Adam, so much more forgiveness came into the world through Jesus. So let's look at this in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. But then we go to verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Isn't that good news? That death came to us because of Adam's actions. When Adam and Eve sinned, we are living in a broken world because of that. But God gave us forgiveness through Jesus that works past all of that. It covers all of that. That's amazing news. But I don't know if you're like me, you might find yourself here thinking, wait, if Jesus died to cover all the sins and to save us from all the brokenness, then when we look around, why does it still look this way? Why does our world still look so broken if Jesus died to cover all of that? Maybe God's plan wasn't good enough. Maybe it didn't fully work. No, look at verse 15 again. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It definitely worked. But why there's still bad in this world? Look at this verse from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient, patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The reason that Jesus has not started eternity already is because he wants more people to believe in him. God wants to give us enough time so that people can repent and believe that he did send his son to die on the cross for me and for you and for them. He wants to give us more time. And so right now, we have the chance to still give our lives for God and to be forgiven of those sins. But it's not going to last forever. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. God is patient with us, but he's not going to wait forever. So I would encourage you, if you haven't given your life to God, there's no better day than today. And so, if you are a Christian, then you have to wrestle with the same thing that we all have to wrestle with, giving our lives to God, living for him, but also struggling with sin. Look at Romans 7. Verses 21 through 25, it says, so I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Satan has already lost the battle. The war is over. When Jesus rose from the grave, he won. He was victorious over death, over sin, over everything. He won the battle. That should put a smile on your face because we know at the end, we've won. God has already won. But Satan is trying to fight a battle he's already lost. Time is running out. And Satan knows he's already been delivered the final punch, but he's trying to pull people down on his way out. And you go to school with them, and you live with them, and it might be us. Satan is doing everything he can to make sure people don't believe in God. And you have the opportunity to make sure that that's not the case. I want to ask you a really important question tonight. This is a question that I heard another youth minister ask before, and his response is something I've never forgotten. Is there anything better than going to heaven? And I remember the first time I heard him say this, I was like, surely not, right? There's a lot of good things in this earth. But surely nothing's better than spending forever with God, right? Maybe you're thinking right now, I can't think of anything better than that. What could be better than that? And I want to challenge you to think, what about helping someone else get there? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be better than going to heaven, is bringing somebody with you? The greatest thing that we could ever do, I mean, for ourselves, the greatest thing we could ever do is give our lives to God. But what if you help somebody else get to spend forever there? If you're excited about heaven, man, you better tell somebody else about it too. Because Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. But we can't do that unless we tell people about Jesus. And this is what I get excited about in youth ministry. As I look out in this crowd and I look at you guys, I get excited when I come here and when I come to Area Wides and Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, because I know that right here, a lot of us are Christians, but we're about to go out of these doors and head to hundreds of different places, to different schools, to different houses, different neighborhoods, different locations. What's exciting is that if you're out there telling people about Jesus, every one of you has a unique circle of influence in your life. You know people that I don't know and that I'll never know. And I know people that you'll never know. And so it's our responsibility each to make sure that we're doing our part. God challenges you to be a committed follower of Him. And if you're doing that, then influence the people that He's put in your life, because He gives you opportunities to share Jesus with other people. And I don't know. I want to see heaven crowded. I've heard people say that term before. Let's make heaven crowded. There's room for all of us. Let's try to get as many in there as possible. And so, as we kind of wrap up tonight, I want to read what Jesus is going to do in the future. Look at Revelation, or what God's going to come back and do. Revelation 21, 1 through 5, and then I'm about to wrap it up here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be their God." Heaven is going to be amazing. We talked about this in our class this morning at West 7th. I've heard someone ask the question, do you think it's wrong that God sends people to hell? A challenging question if it's the first time you've heard about it. Do you think it's wrong that God sends people to hell? Same guy that I quoted earlier, he answered this question in a wise way. He said, God doesn't send people to hell. He lets them choose where they want to spend forever. Jesus came to us. God sent Jesus as a free gift to us. And you get to choose if you want to accept or decline. If you think it would be the best thing in the world to spend forever with God, He's laid it down for you. He said, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get baptized, give your life to Him, live for Him, and you get to spend forever there. But if you don't want that, you don't have to have that. You get to choose that. And with a lot of you in here, you might have already made that decision, you might not have. But I love that, because God loves us so much that He gave you the free will to decide if you want to spend forever with Him or not. And if you do, then praise God, because you'll get to. Give your life to Him and tell others about it, because make sure that you know where you're going to spend forever so that you can be excited about it and you can tell other people about it. So just to recap tonight, sorry, I forgot to read. Let me read the rest of that. Because that's worth reading. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So tonight we've looked at Jesus at creation, how Jesus came to the earth to save us, and how Jesus is coming back. We'll look the rest of this school year about Jesus in different parts of the scripture. And I'm so grateful that you're here tonight, and I hope you keep coming to this, because this community is really strong and is really encouraging. Let this be the time where you light your fire, you light your candle back here in the fire, and you take that out to everywhere that you're going, in Columbia and beyond. Because all of you have the opportunity to share God in your life. I pray that you'll be bold enough to do it, because eternity's on the line, and somebody getting to heaven could be influenced by you living your life for God and telling them about God. So, I hope you keep coming to these. If you have any need tonight, we would love to pray for you, be with you. If you want to come forward, you can do that, or tell somebody from your church. But if you would, let's stand, let's sing.